Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Listen. Melanie Cole's Health Radio is on now.
We've been hearing about open heart surgery for years, and then you hear the terms minimally invasive surgery for all kinds of surgery. But do you know what goes on in the procedures and prep work that's needed beforehand? I was in graduate school, and when I worked at Northwestern, I got to be in on a quadruple bypass, and I saw what goes into some of this planning and what these doctors do, and it's absolutely fascinating. My guest today is Dr. Scott Schultz. He's board certified in thoracic surgery and is a fellow of the American College of Surgeons, and he's the medical director of cardiovascular surgery at McLeod Regional Medical Center. Welcome to the show. So, Dr. Schultz, when people think of open heart surgery in the old days and they see Grey's Anatomy and they see all these things, but they don't really know the minute sewing and the little details and the veins you take from other places to help do the end run around and make those arteries nice and clean to work with. Tell us about the procedure. What goes into it?
I certainly will, Melanie, and thanks for having me. First of all, it's kind of a misnomer when we talk about a patient having open heart surgery. In fact, most patients who undergo heart surgery do not have open heart surgery. The good news is that the arteries to the heart were actually are on the surface of the heart, what we call the epicardium of the heart. And so to do conventional bypass surgery, we do not have to open up the heart. We do open up the chest in most patients, but we do not have to open up the heart. So most people say, I've had open heart surgery. In fact, they really haven't had open heart surgery. Yes, they've had heart surgery, but not open heart surgery. But what we do with open heart surgery or bypass surgery, as most people know it today, is we take an artery or a vein from somewhere around the body that we can sacrifice, and it's usually a vein from the leg, the greater saphenous vein, which runs on the inside of the leg. And what we do is we attach that vein or that blood vessel to the artery on the heart beyond the area where the blockage is on the heart, and then we attach that artery to an arterial source so that the heart now gets extra oxygen or extra blood. So the blockage remains in place, and the patient, after the surgery, would have their native circulation with the blockage in it, plus the new blood vessels that now carry the oxygen in an unobstructed fashion.
So this collateral circulation, this sort of side circulation that goes along with it, meanwhile, the clot is still there. Is there a risk of that clot going anywhere else, or does it pretty much just sit there?
No, and it's actually not a clot. It's actually an occlusion. But when we think about a clot, a blood clot, for example, we think of blood products that have aggregated and caused a closure of the blood vessel. That's typically not what happens with these arteries. They typically get filled up with plaque, and that plaque is usually some cholesterol and maybe some calcium. But the answer to your question is yes, we leave that plaque alone. Yes, that plaque can get worse, but in today's environment where patients are on a lot of medications with heart disease, mostly cholesterol-lowering medication, we hope that that plaque does not advance. But if it does, the patient is protected because now he or she has a new way around that blockage with the new blood vessel that we attach to the heart.
Well, tell us about that greater saphenous vein in the leg. Do we need that vein? Is there any trauma to the leg as a result of taking out this big vein?
Well, you know, it's about 350,000 times a year the vein is taken out of the leg. That's about how many bypasses are done in this country. So, yes, we can remove that vein safely and know the patient doesn't have any long-term sequelae. There's a lot of veins in the legs that take the blood back to the heart. Remember, veins take the blood back to the heart. The arteries take the blood to the organ or the tissue. And so the vein that we typically harvest is called the greater saphenous vein. It runs from the groin all the way down to the ankle on the inside of the leg. And the traditional way to take that blood vessel out is to make an incision all the way from the groin down to the ankle. Now, that can be 3 feet long on some people, which is a big deal. It's a big incision to heal, particularly patients who have diabetes, who smoke, or overweight, which is our common patient. They have poor wound healing characteristics. Over the past 10 or 15 years, this has been revolutionized. Really, the mid-1990s it first was developed, where we can now take this vein out with an endoscope, and it has been advanced over the past several years, so that it has become standard of care now that if you have the vein removed from the leg, that it's done with an endoscope or an endoscopic vessel harvesting technique, what we call EVH. This year, the major company in this, McKay Medical, celebrated their 2 millionth harvest. So it's been around for a while, but this has revolutionized the postoperative care of our patients. In the past, patients primarily complained of pain in their leg, and they had a difficult time healing the wound. They had to stay in the bed for 2 or 3 days after surgery before we could get them up and get them walking around, and they were in the hospital for 8 to 10 days after surgery. Now, our average patient is walking sometimes the day of surgery. At worst, they're walking the day after surgery, and our patient in the hospital for 4 or 5 days after the operation as opposed to 8 to 10.
And usually, how long does this kind of procedure take? And I do also think it's absolutely amazing that now we're getting people up the day of or the next day, when back in the day, if someone had a heart or a cardiac event or those plaques built up or something, yeah, they stayed in bed for a good long time. And now it's get up and get moving right away. So how long does this take, and how long can they think the recovery is going to be? Is there physical therapy involved? Is their heart pretty safe after this for them to begin a slow exercise program?
The harvesting of the vein is actually done simultaneous while the heart surgeon is typically working up in the chest, open up the chest, and work in the chest area. A physician assistant typically takes out the vein from the leg using the endoscopic method. And that typically takes anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes, depending on what length of vein is needed for the operation. It varies. The average number of bypasses per patient in this country is a little bit over 3 per patient. That usually means there's about, on average, 2 pieces of vein that are used per operation. So that takes anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes. While the physician assistant or assistant is harvesting that vein, the surgeon is working up the chest, in the chest, preparing the patient for the procedure. So it doesn't add any additional time. It's done simultaneous. I can tell you that the average bypass operation now is down to somewhere between 2 and 3 hours of actual surgery time. 10 years ago, it was a 5 or 6 hour operation, and there's still some surgeons that can make it a day long event. But contemporary surgeons, those that do it on a frequent basis, we can get in and out of the operating room in 2 or 3 hours and do an effective job. And of course, that's less anesthesia for the patient, which is better for the patient.
Oh, absolutely. And then what about recovery? Getting back to life. We only have 1 minute left, Dr.
Okay, I'll wrap it up.
Let me wrap it up quickly.
I tell patients, and it depends on their age and depends on the health going into the operation, but in general, within 6 to 8 weeks, they're back to full recovery and doing whatever they want to do. Usually 3 weeks after surgery, they're driving a car. They're feeling about 70%. It takes about another month to get that extra 30% back. And then I tell my patients at 3 months, they can do whatever they want to do, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups. They want to do rugby, MMA. They can do whatever they want to do.
Isn't that just amazing? I certainly applaud you and all the great work that you're doing. In the last 30 seconds, give your best advice to people who are considering having, quotation marks, open heart surgery or this minimally invasive new heart surgeries that are going on today, and maybe your best advice for prevention, something that so they don't have to have it.
I do believe in prevention, and the risk factors, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and smoking. Those are the 4 things you can control. You can't control your genetics, so control those things that you can control. In terms of preparing for surgery, make sure you're in a center that does a high volume. When I mean a high volume, you want to have a surgeon who's doing at least 100 heart operations a year. You can check star ratings for hospitals. There's a site called STS.org, and you can actually go to your hospital. And you can compare hospitals, how they stack up against other hospitals that are ranked 1, 2, or 3 stars. The top 10% is a 3-star rating, which we are. And then you can also go to myheartbypasssurgery.com for additional
information. Thank you so much. It's great information. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.